Good morning. We welcome you all to Travelers Rest United Methodist Church. My name is Brian Gilmer. I'm your pastor here, and I'm glad to see everyone this morning. We're glad that you've chosen to worship with us today, whether it's in the sanctuary or you're live streaming on Facebook or you're going to watch later this week. We are grateful for you and are excited about our service today. A couple of things as we begin. If you're sitting closest to the center aisle, there is a pew pad, and I invite you to take that pew pad and sign it and pass it down to the end of the row. When it gets to the other end, if you don't mind passing it back down, that helps us know who's here, but also gives us some information if you choose to, so that we can contact you and keep you informed about what's going on in the life of the church. It also helps me continue to learn names and faces, because I'm sitting here looking and I can take that pew pad and figure out who is sitting on the row and start making notes. So it's kind of a cheat sheet for me. But a couple of announcements that aren't in the bulletin that I want to draw your attention to. Church Council meets this afternoon at 3 o'clock in the parlor. And then one of the things that I like about our congregation is the fact that... Psalter lesson for this morning is a familiar psalm to all of us. It's Psalm 23. Let us join together reading responsibly this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures.
Leads me beside still waters, restores my life.
Leads me in right paths for the sake of the Lord's name.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live.
Seated. Let's join together now in a time of silent prayer, and then I'll lead us in our prayer for the morning. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we are thankful. We're thankful for this time each and every week. This time where we can remove ourselves from the busyness of our daily lives and come and sit in your presence. This time that we can come and worship and praise you. This time that we can come together as the body of Christ, the church, as your disciples, and learn and grow and be encouraged by one another. Oh God, we need this time apart. We need this time so that we can be refreshed and renewed and able to think more clearly. Oh God, as we gather together today, each of us comes with our own reasons for attending today. Some gather because this is the only time in the week that they are surrounded by others that love and care for them. Some come, oh God, to seek a sense of peace that only you can provide. Others gather today wanting to hear your word spoken so that it might shape our lives. Yet still others come, oh God, to be released from the pain that is caused by so many different circumstances in life. For the fearful ones, oh God, fill them with a peace that passes all understanding. For those who are grieving today, oh God, wipe away their tears. Allow them to sense your presence and find hope in that. To all who are lonely today, oh God, grant them comfort in this community of faith, that they would feel loved and welcome when they walk through the doors of this church. For all who are sick today, bring wholeness and comfort and allow them to feel the touch of your healing hand, reminding them, oh God, that healing takes many forms. Give them grace to see and experience that healing in the many ways that it happens each day. Gracious God, as we bow this morning, we ask to continue to pray your blessings and pour your blessings upon all those who are at the General Conference of the United Methodist Church in Charlotte this week. Lord, as delegates from all over the world gather, breathe into them the breath of life. Breathe into them wisdom and unity and love and grace to make decisions so that we can continue to be your church who strive each day to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Lord, as we pray for our church worldwide, Lord, we also lift up our church here locally. Lord, we want Travelers Rest United Methodist to be a strong and vital church in this community. Lord, we want to be used by you to make a difference in the lives of the people in this community. So our prayer is that you would help us to show others the way to you through our programs and our ministries, but most of all, help us to show people the way to you through our lives and the way we live them each day. We pray all this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us as his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time I invite our children to come down front for a few minutes with Mr. Gregg.
Hey. Hey, Jude. Hey, Emma. Good morning. Good morning. I want to call our time together today, Second Chances. Come on down, Roman. Have a seat, buddy. All right. Second Chances. Have you ever made a mistake? Of course you have. Have you ever made a mistake and asked your mom for another chance? You might not, Emma. But anyway, Mama, please give me another chance. I promise I'll do better. Jude, you ever done that? I thought you might have, yeah. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? I too have made many mistakes. One time I made a very costly mistake at work and I thought I was gonna be fired. But the owner, Joe McKinney, gave me a second chance. Thank you, Joe. But this mistake made me a better worker. Making that mistake made me do a better job. Mistakes are not always a bad thing. And if we let it, good things can come from our mistakes. In fact, a number of good things that we really, really enjoy were the result of mistakes. For example, Jude, can you tell what that is? Silly putty? Yeah, a silly putty. That was a mistake. What's in this can, Roman? Do you know? No, Coca-Cola. Close. Coca-Cola, all right. Thank you, Roman. How about potato chips? Potato chips were a mistake as well. My personal favorite, chocolate chip cookies. They were made as a mistake. Chocolate chip cookies. So some of these mistakes are pretty good, aren't they? There's a man in the Bible named Peter, and Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. Peter made a mistake, and he needed and received a second chance. On the night before Jesus' crucifixion, Peter denied Jesus three times. He was asked, "Are you a follower of this man, Jesus?" And Peter said, No, I don't know the man." He said it three times. But after Jesus' resurrection, Peter and some of the other disciples had returned to their old jobs. You know what their old jobs were? Fishing. They had gone back to fishing. And early one morning, they were out in the boats fishing, and they weren't catching anything. Now, it's kind of aggravating if you're a fisherman and not catching anything. But a man on the shore yelled out to them to move their nets to the other side of the boat and fish there. Just move the nets over from one side to the other. They did this, as the man said, and soon their nets were completely filled with fish just by moving the nets. About then, Peter realized the man on the shore was Jesus. So they rowed their boats to the shore. Jesus took some of the fish and cooked the men breakfast. Fish for breakfast? Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? Then Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." Jesus asked Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And all three times Peter said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep and follow me." So from denying Jesus three times, remember he said, "No, I don't know the man." With this second chance, Peter said, "Yes, Lord, I love you," three times. From there, Peter shared his faith and proclaimed Christ, even when it later cost him his life. God is a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, and many chances. But these chances are given to us for us to do better and be better. Like Peter, we get another chance from a mistake, and the opportunity is for us to be better. God always turns our story around. He wants to turn our mess into success, and he will if we let him. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us many chances. Help us to return to you no matter what we do. In your holy name, amen. And come up.
Thank you. this morning is learning from Peter, and it's John 21, verses 1 through 19. Later, Jesus himself appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." They said, "We'll go with you." They set out on a boat, but throughout the night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. Jesus called to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered, "No." He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did, and there were so many fish that they couldn't haul in the net. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he wrapped his coat around himself, for he was naked, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they weren't far from the shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." Simon Peter got up and pulled the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them, yet the net hadn't torn, even with so many fish. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples could bring themselves to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." He asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad and pretty upset, I'm sure, that Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He replied, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. I assure you that when you were younger, you tied your own belt and walked around wherever you wanted. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and another will tie your belt and lead you where you don't want to go." He said this to show the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After saying this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our hymn of preparation this morning is a summons. It's found in the Faith We Sing hymnal, or it's found on your screen. On the screen, let us join together, standing as we sing.
Thank you.
be seated. Let us pray together. God, open our hearts and our minds by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that as your word is proclaimed on this day, we receive it with joy. Amen. Don't you just love kids? They just say whatever, right? It was interesting this morning, Greg asked the first group, have you ever made a mistake? And like two or three, Greg said, no, they hadn't. Maybe in their minds they haven't. So the last couple of weeks we've been looking at what we're calling the Easter aftermath, or the post-resurrection passages that we find in the Gospels. Those times in which Jesus appeared to his disciples and to his followers after his resurrection. I told you the first week that if I had to rename it, I would probably rename this whole series Now What? Because that's kind of the question that we're answering in these passages. After all that the disciples had seen and experienced, after Jesus had died and rose from the dead, they're all probably sitting around asking, now what? Now what do we do? Now where do we go? Now who do we follow? And so these times in which Jesus appears to his disciples in the 40 days after Easter help them answer that question of now what? And we saw that on Easter Sunday morning. We saw that in the upper room with Thomas. We saw that last week with the two people that were traveling on the road to Emmaus. And we'll see it again today. And today's gospel lesson, today's post-resurrection appearance, is Jesus appearing to his disciples. And the main character of today's story is Peter. Now, here are a couple things to remember about the disciples. The disciples were ordinary average men, and they had ordinary average jobs. And when Jesus found them, he gave them a call or an invitation to follow him. And sometimes we kind of gloss over the fact that when that invitation was extended, that those men dropped everything they were doing. They left everything that they had loved, everything that they were familiar with, and they did just what Jesus called them to do. They followed him. And by following Jesus, they saw and experienced some amazing, amazing things. Now, here's the thing. Out of all the disciples, Peter was probably the most excited and excitable of all of them. You hear me from time to time when Peter comes up in the scripture saying Peter did what Peter always did. He just said things, didn't he? But Peter is one of those people, you might know some, you might be one, that does not have a filter. Anybody know people like that? Anybody got people sitting around you that are like that? Yes, some people just don't have filters, right? Whatever they think, whatever they feel just comes up and it comes out. Right, and that's kind of the way it was with Peter. Whatever he was feeling, you knew because he was going to tell you. He's filled with emotion. And more than anything, I think he was just filled with passion. He's probably one of the most committed to Jesus. And he probably never would have imagined himself doing anything but following Jesus. But we know that Peter had some moments that would just make you shake your head, right? You ever had one of those, I call them like SMH moments? Some of you don't know what SMH means, right? Shake my head. You had those moments where you just have to drop your head and shake it? Yeah, Peter had some of those moments. One of the biggest SMH moments for Peter, we find in the 13th chapter of John's Gospel. Jesus is telling his disciples about his upcoming death, and he says to them that where I'm going, you cannot come. To which Peter says, Lord, I'm going with you. I would lay down my life for you. And Jesus responds with, will you? Will you really lay down your life for me? He said, I tell you the truth, before the cock crows three times, you will disown me three times. Sure enough, we know how the story ends, right? Peter is asked if he's one of the disciples of Jesus. So, do you know this man? Do you follow this man? And three times Peter said, no, no, no. Peter, in Jesus' darkest moment, Peter failed Jesus, didn't he? And so our gospel lesson today finds Peter broken and crushed. He had failed the Lord in his mind. He had missed the mark as a disciple. And he doesn't know what to do. And you can almost sense Peter pacing back and forth, struggling with what to do next. Now what? Trying to make sense of all that had happened. Trying to make sense of all that he was feeling. And trying to make sense of these emotions that he had. And when he can't make sense of things, Peter goes back to his old ways. And we find that in the gospel lesson, he tells the rest of the disciples that are with him, I'm going fishing. He didn't know what else to do, right? He didn't know how to deal with these emotions and these thoughts in his head. So he went back to what was familiar to him. He went back to the smell of the sea and the gripping of the nets. And he went back to something that he thought might be good for him because he had been good at it before. And so I'll go back where I know what I'm doing and I won't mess things up. He goes back to the life that he had before Jesus called him. And when he says he's going fishing, some of the disciples say, you know what? Well, we'll go with you. And they go out and they fish all night. And they get skunked. That's like a fishing word for saying you didn't catch a fish, right? They got skunked. The nighttime finished and daylight was coming up. They hadn't caught a single fish. And all of a sudden they see this figure, this person standing on the shore. And even though they had returned to their old ways, Jesus had not forgotten them or left them. And Jesus calls out to them, yet the disciples don't recognize him. And Jesus asked the question that everybody asks when they walk up on somebody fishing. You know what the question is? You caught any fish? Are the fish biting? How many you got? They said, no, we hadn't caught any fish. Now, here's the thing that's interesting to me. The disciples were professional fishermen, right? Which means today, if they were alive, they would have their own YouTube channel or their own fishing TV show. They were that good, right? Like, go read the scriptures, though. There's not a time in the scriptures that are recorded where the disciples, the professional fishermen are fishing, that they don't catch a fish without Jesus being there. Interesting, isn't it? So they say, no, we hadn't caught any fish. And Jesus said, well, throw the nets on the other side. And I'm sure they shook their heads again and said, who is this guy? What does he know about fishing? But we'll do it just so he'll shut up, right? So they throw nets on the other side. And can you imagine the surprise they have when they start pulling the nets in and they can't pull them in? There's so many fish. 153 fish. And then John's the one that says, that's the Lord. And Peter realizes what John is saying is true. And he goes to Jesus and the rest of them bring in the fish. And when they get to the shore, Jesus tells them to bring the fish. He set up a campfire and they have breakfast together. And when breakfast is over, Peter and the disciples have finished eating and they're just sitting around. A lot of great conversation happens around a fire or a dinner table, doesn't it? That's some of the places we have the best conversations with people. And in this moment, there was a great conversation between Jesus and Peter. I call it the original come to Jesus meeting. You've had those before, right? This is the real one. This is where it all started. Come to Jesus. Jesus and Peter talk, and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And what he's saying is, Simon, do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me more than the fear and the doubts you have? Do you love me more than these old ways of doing things? And he didn't ask him just one time. He asked him three times. And you could tell Peter's getting upset about it. And he finally says, Lord, you know I love you. And then Jesus gives him a second chance. He says, follow me. Follow me. Even after all that Peter had done, Jesus still loved him. Jesus forgave him. And he calls him to follow him again. Folks, we can learn a lot from Peter. Just like Peter, we are going to mess things up. We're going to get things wrong in this life. There are going to be times when we get caught up in ourselves and we miss the mark of being a disciple for Jesus. But the good news is this. God loves us no matter what we have done. And God can and will offer us forgiveness. All we have to do is accept that forgiveness. All we have to do is accept that forgiveness, and Christ sets us free to live, to really, really live. Part of that living, I think, is following Jesus each and every day with our words, our actions, our deeds, following Jesus. Jesus calls you and calls me, just like he called the early disciples, just like he called Peter, to follow him, to come with him on the greatest journey imaginable. I'll give you a kind of a weird image to think about for a second. A chicken and a hog are walking past a church building on a Sunday morning. You got that? Your chicken and hog can look like whatever you want them to. But they're walking down the street in front of the church. And the sign in front of the church says, Sermon Sunday, Helping the Poor. You got that image? Chicken, hog, helping the poor. So they read the sign together and they walk a little farther. And the chicken looks at the hog and he says, Brother Hog, he said, I got an idea. He said, those poor people that they're preaching about, what if you and I fix them a nice ham and egg breakfast? Hog stopped right in his tracks. He looked at the chicken and this is what he said. He said, that's all right for you because for you, it's only a contribution. He said, but for me, it's total commitment. It's total commitment. Like Brother Hogg, following Christ is not a contribution. It is a total commitment. And here's the thing. There are going to be times when we mess up, when we fail, things sometimes in which we don't get things right. But here's the good news. God doesn't stop loving us. God doesn't stop calling us. God doesn't stop giving us second and third and fourth chances. So I invite you to learn from Peter. Answer the call. Follow Jesus. Amen. A creed is a statement of what we believe. Let us stand together as we proclaim what we believe by using the words of the Apostles' Creed that are on the screen or in your bulletins. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Remembering now the words of Jesus, how he said, there's more blessed to give than to receive. Let us give God back now his tithes and our offerings. If you're a guest with us today, we are grateful that you chose to worship with us. Our hospitality team will be at all the exits and have a gift for you. If you'd like to know how to get connected and plugged in here at TRUMC, then give me a call or talk to me anytime, and I'll be glad to help you get plugged in. Our final song today, our final hymn, is hymn number 381, Savior Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. So to those of you who have been at Traveler's Rest for many years, Ruth and Robert Anderson are not strangers to you. Ruth actually grew up in this church. They were married in this church. They went to Edisto Island, part of Edisto Island United Methodist Church, but they come back today. They come home. And so I just ask you one question. Will you continue to be faithful to the United Methodist Church and uphold it with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
I will.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I commend to your loving care these persons whom we on this day receive into the membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
Welcome to this congregation of the United Methodist Church.
Let me welcome you back home.
Thank you. We're so glad to be back.
Glad to have you guys. I'm going to ask them to come and stand at the back and so you can welcome them home. Commitment, right? It's total commitment to follow Jesus. It's not just a contribution, right? Go now with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all now and forever. Amen.